ever grow old. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Who was it? Search the world. Ponce de Leon for the fountain of youth. And we have found it in Jesus. Amen? Amen. I failed to mention also, Brother Randy Thompson lost his father this past week. Remember him and his family as you pray also. Well, it is the Labor Day weekend, and that's a very relevant subject to me, labor and how much do you continue to labor. We have several people here who are retired, and I've really struggled trying to make that happen. It's very frustrating. Had a lot of advice, talked to a lot of smart people, but so far I have not been able to make that work. But as the Lord so leads, I'm glad that I'm still able to work. But I think about many years ago, my neighbor was Mr. Leon King. He ran the Camden Lumber Company for many years. Interesting man. He was a night flyer in World War II, flew fighter planes at night. Before the world started for us, a war, he went to Canada and enlisted. Mr. King had quite a life, but as he got older, I'd visit with him sometimes. He'd be sitting on the swing. Went over there one day to see him. I said, "Mr. King, how are you doing?" And he said, "I've got troubles." I'll never forget that. And I remember something else. You know, I try to remember certain things that people tell me. And I remember two things that he told me that day. He said, "I've got troubles." And he didn't elaborate. And I didn't ask. But he told me something else one time. He said, "I want to get out of this rat race." I'm there. I want to get out of it. There's so much going on in our world today. With the Lord's help today, we'll try to share with you the Word of God, something relevant to Labor Day. Tomorrow is the day that we have gotten off. And I will say this, that some of our big customers have broken their tradition and taken off. And I'm thankful for that, because we have some folks who don't like to take any days off whatsoever. It makes it tough trying to serve customers who work 24/7 every day of the year. Maybe take Christmas off, but that has gotten a little better, maybe. Our Lord in the Gospel of John chapter 6 said something about work that could be taken out of context. People take things out of context. Satan does. In fact, when Jesus answered Satan with the temptations with Scripture, Satan pulled one out and said, "Here's a Scripture too." He knows some Scriptures too, and he knows which ones to tempt us with and to try to pull and to take out of context. But our Lord would have none of it. He said, "Here's one. Jump off of this temple and display that, and he'll send his angels to protect you and keep you." Because there's a psalm in the Scripture said, "His angels will bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And that you've got Scripture backing you up. Do it. And Jesus said, "Here's another one. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So don't let Satan tempt us with changing Scripture and taking them out of context. The Scriptures as a whole back each other up. The consistency of God in the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, He doesn't change. So what is the consistent theme of the Word of God. Okay, in John chapter 6, I'm going to read three or four verses here, verses 24 through 29. And the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples. They also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Remember that. They're seeking Jesus. We're going to find out why they're seeking him in a minute. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou? Then Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus saith unto them, This is the work of God, that ye may believe on him whom he has sent. In verse 27 here, Jesus says, Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Labor not for that meat. The flesh and the spirit, here's what he's talking about. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word. I pray you bless the word. Help us to speak it with clarity today. Help us to share the word of God under the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us here today, Lord. Impact our lives. Help us, dear Lord, to be touched by the word of God. I pray if there be any here or listening who have not yet come to faith in Christ, Lord, that they will come to you today and to be gloriously saved. I pray you would add your blessings to the church that it might prosper and grow. Lord, bless those unable to be here who are listening at home. I pray for the sick, those who are battling terrible diseases. I pray for your healing. Pray for those who are dealing with tragedy today. Lord, bless. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Labor not for that meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So, what does Jesus mean here? And he says, labor not for that meat which perishes. Now, in the context of the setting is, these people are following him because he had done fed 5,000 of them. And he says here, that's the reason you're here. That's the reason you're here. They kind of like that. Free food is pretty good. You know, giving away, people like free food. They like free stuff, but especially free food. Free food takes away the initiative to work for it. You know, these people would be happy. Did you know after this time that our Lord had to withdraw himself because he feared that they would come and make him a king? Free food. You can rule the world feeding us. We won't have to work. We'll just enjoy the free food, and we'll take away our ability to work here. Now, they are putting forth the effort to follow him at this time, working in that they are laboring somewhat and working because they are wanting something to eat now. Well, Jesus is not saying that work is unimportant. In fact, he was a carpenter. He worked. He is consistent with the Word of God. And the Bible speaks to our predicament of work and why it is that we have to work and why we're under commandment for God to work. And the Bible says that those who do not provide for themselves, especially, you know, they are what? Worse than an infidel. And we'll get to that in the New Testament a minute. But it, throughout the consistency of Word of God in Genesis chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19, part of the judgment for the fall and the sin is, unfortunately, you're going to have to earn your keep from now on. This beautiful garden that just renewed itself and took care of itself and was perfect, well, guess what? That's going to change. Because of the fall, you know, it's going to grow weeds and briars, and it's not just going to come to you anymore, but you're going to have to earn your way. Unto Adam, when it comes time for Adam, and he is the responsible man here, unto Adam, he said, unto the voice, thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee not, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Because of the fall. You know, Paul says that all creation groaneth and travaileth and waiteth until this time of the coming of Christ. You know, the earth is unfortunately under the curse too. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. That's the way it's going to be. We have to get out there and we go. We have to plow the fields. You know, things have advanced and it's not like it used to be as labor intensive, but we still have somebody. Artificial intelligence is not going to be able to dig ditches and be plumbers and do manual work. There'll always be a need for people to do work. He says, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also, thistles, shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field in the sweat of thy face. Shalt thou eat bread till thou hast returned to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust shalt return. In other words, you have to go to work from now on. You're going to have to work it. And sometimes it's labor intense and hard work. In the New Testament, you're in the ministry of St. Paul establishing the gospel all over the world and the churches that he established, you know, the New Testament Christians, first of all, the first Christians who were Jews in Jerusalem, and we had thousands of people being saved. The church just exploded. There were thousands of people being saved. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 another time. How they managed that, I don't know. You know, God blessed and they were able to manage and meet the needs. People who were there traveling sold their possessions, brought the food, distribution was made. Anyway, they made it work for a while. But obviously, that model would be very difficult to maintain. What kind of model? It was great. The fellowship was great. They did eat their bread from house to house. They pretty much had church every day. They had worship. People were being saved and born again, and the church was growing, and their needs were being met. This is great. It was so great that they just kind of wanted to keep that model. And Jesus said, do you remember? I said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. They were just right there, keeping it to themselves, enjoying the blessings of God. And fellowship is great. It's a great asset to the church. We need fellowship as God's believers. But they weren't fulfilling their mission. You know, this model, this is not what Christ intended for the church worldwide. Its mission, just to sit there and enjoy the benefits of the fellowship and You know, nobody's working. We're just going to church every day. It was good, but the model could not be sustained. And so, to get them to move, there was persecution. Stephen was persecuted, and St. Paul played a big part in the role of the church persecution and what they spread. They spread all over the known world carrying the gospel with. Now, the wonder in this when they spread was that it didn't fizzle out. Those leaders in Jerusalem had figured on and predicted that, well, when they all go back home, they'll get over this. They're all Jews. They'll start going back to synagogue and get reattached to their families and their former way of worship. And this movement will just fizzle out. But it didn't. You see, they didn't figure in on the presence of the Holy Spirit in these people's lives. So they did not abandon their new faith. They carried it and started churches and movements wherever they went. And so the gospel is spread and the church. But at first, they wanted just to hang around there, enjoy the fruits. Now, as the churches are born and Paul goes to places like Thessalonica and all of these new churches in the New Testament that we talk about, Philippians, Thessalonica, Corinth. One of the doctrines in the early church that people were very passionate about and eager for good reason, and we should be too, was the second coming of Christ. And so they joined the church and they had assumed that Jesus has to come back just next week, certainly within a short time. And so there won't be any need for us to work. A lot of them quit their jobs. Hey, we're going to just sort of do like they've done at Jerusalem, hang around the church, you know, enjoy the fellowship. The church did have a support system. And then it begins to get overloaded. And so St. Paul has to deal with these people. He said, you know, it's good that you're passionate about the second coming of Jesus, and it is real. And I'm telling you, it's real today. And events are happening that certainly point to it being close. But he said, we're not to quit our jobs and to live off the church. The church is designed to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. And it will put an added burden and strain upon the church. Besides, if you're able to work, you need to work to be able to contribute and to help meet the needs of those who cannot. But it was a problem. You know, hey, what's the use of working? You know, we're just going to hang out here until Jesus comes for us. And he said, now, wait a minute. It may not be right now. He said that, you know, Jesus said the angels in heaven didn't know. And he said we need to be prepared for it and live like that it is tomorrow. But we don't know. We have to be able to sustain the church. And here it is 2,000 years later, you know, and it's still going. But he had to deal with that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, he talks to these people. He said, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. So Paul is telling these New Testament Christians in their excitement, now, hey, you still got to work. You know, God's word over there in Genesis is still in effect. You know, so those of us who are able, we got to work. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. In 2 Thessalonians. Now, we know one thing about the church in Thessalonica. They were very passionate about the second coming of Jesus. And they assumed that it had to happen immediately. And so that caused some of them to quit their job. Over here again, he addresses it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. You ever wonder why St. Paul was a tent maker, why he worked his way? For a couple of reasons. He wanted to be above reproach, but it also served as an example. Verse 7, "For ye yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day." Paul said, "I work night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power." He said, "I could do this in my position as an apostle, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." That's the Word of God. That doesn't fly well with a lot of people today who want to eat, but they're able. Obviously, this is for those who are able. I had a young man back in the summer waiting right here on the porch one Wednesday. I went out there. He just had on a pair of shorts. It was hot. I did give him a little money to get something to eat on. I said, "Have you ever thought about getting a job?" He was a young man, you know. "Oh, I thought about it." I said, "Man, they're hiring everywhere. Everywhere. Trying to get enough money to move to Arkansas and living in a car and walking." Well, you start with getting a job, you see. You work your way, you know, if you're able. I'm not talking about those who are unable. Paul said, if any would not work, neither should he eat. He had to cut some of them off of the church, taking advantage off of the church. It's goodness there. They were on church support and they were able to work. And he said, "Hey, this stops." Those that are able to work, now, maybe you have good ideas when you quit. You're ready for Jesus to come. But listen, that model will not sustain itself. You must go back to work if you are able. That's what he said. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." You know, too much time on their hands, and they were stirring up trouble and gossip within the churches. "Now, them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." That's what the Bible says about work. That's what it says to New Testament Christians. And for those who use an excuse not to labor, want to use Jesus' words here where he said, "Labor not for that meat which perishes." Well, let's talk about what he's talking about. What is Jesus saying here? What he is saying here is get your minds off of the physical and on the spiritual. These are people, and this is a multitude of 5,000 over that he fed, and they are pressing upon him so bad they're threatening to make him a king. And he sent the disciples back over the Sea of Galilee, and he walked on the water, and immediately the ship was there. They knew that he didn't leave in the ship. They knew he's special. But they're following him for the flesh, for something to eat. They're hungry, you know, to feed 5,000 people and 12 baskets full taken up after that. What a miracle. And Jesus said, this stops. You know, I've met this need, but this is, we're not going to continue to do this. We're going to talk about spiritual reality. We're going to talk about heaven and hell. We're going to talk about everlasting life. You eat this bread that I give you and you're already hungry. You're already wanting something else. That's why they're there. That's why they're following Him. And that's why He said, don't labor for this kind of meat. But I'm here to tell you about some everlasting life. Something that'll last forever and you'll never get hungry. But their minds are upon the flesh and fleshly things. Get your minds off the physical and think about the spiritual thing. This is challenging to these people. Listen, it's challenging to people today. There are a lot of people just don't want to be spiritual whatsoever. And you try to witness to them or talk about spiritual things, they're not interested. It seems like they're cold and indifferent. They have no interest in spiritual, just the physical. What can I get now? What can I pile up? What can I do with my labors? What can I do now, not thinking about the spiritual side of things? Jesus goes on to give a good discourse here into these people that they found to be most challenging. And I say unto you today that the world that we're living in is so focused upon the flesh that they still today find it most challenging and they're not too interested in it. He pleads and He's trying to tell these people about the difference of the meat and the food that He gave them and the meat that He wanted to give them, which is everlasting life. And yet they're saying, we don't have a clue what you're talking about. And He said, I'll make this easy for you and I'll try to explain it to you. In John 6:47, He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. I am the bread of life. The bread that I gave you in the miracle sustained you for a few hours and then you're hungry again. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they're dead. They had to go back every day and take more manna. It only lasted a day at a time. They said, just feed us the rest of our lives and we'll be in good shape. Your fathers eat manna in the wilderness. What happened to them? Their carcasses dropped in the wilderness. They're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, if man eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I'll give is my flesh. I will give my life. I will give for the life of the world. Jesus said, I'm going to die on the cross. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to live? They don't have a clue what he's talking about. There are lots of people in our world today who don't have a clue about what the gospel of Jesus is really about. And what they're saying is, we just want something to eat. We don't know so much about all this. Then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in ye. Whoso eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as that bread of your fathers did eat and are dead. The difference in spiritual bread and this physical bread that they were fixed upon. Something to eat. Not as that bread your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. I'm talking about everlasting life, not just another meal. Too many people have just got their minds fixed upon just something else to eat like these people, following Jesus just for a free meal to meet the needs of the flesh. So some of them so they wouldn't have to work. And Jesus said, this ends. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. That's where his headquarters out of. You know that? After the temptation, Jesus was raised in Nazareth. And after the temptation, called the 12, he moved to Capernaum, there by the Sea of Galilee, where many of his ministries took place. His hometown synagogue in Capernaum, where they threatened to kill him when he revealed to them who he was. And he said, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? They found it challenging. And people who find it challenging today, simply because they don't care. They don't care to trouble themselves to look into spiritual matters. I don't know about that. I don't know about it. And that's the exact attitude of these people. We don't know about that. Just give us something to eat. Just give us something to eat. Fixed upon the flesh. And Jesus said, the Spirit's what we need to be thinking about. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up from where he was before? And then, listen to this. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. That's life. It is the Spirit of God that brings life. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's why the New Testament tells us as Christians to walk in the Spirit. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Why do you find this challenging? Because they're not interested in it. Because they're fixed upon another free meal. Give us something else to eat. In fact, these people forsook him and followed him no more. Verse 66 says, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because he said, no more free food. From here out, we're going to talk about everlasting life. We're going to talk about the bread of life that has come down from heaven of you. The life of the Son of Man, that's going to give you everlasting life. They found it too challenging. Oh, we don't know about all that. We're just hungry now. Give us something to eat. Not today, Jesus said. Those miracles end here, you know. Jesus turned to the disciples and said, are y'all going to forsake me too? And of course, it's Peter that says, to whom will we go? Thou hast the words of life. We believe, listen to this, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's nowhere else for God's people to go. So Jesus is not saying that we should quit our jobs, that work ain't important, you know. But he is saying that there's something more important. The kingdom of God is more important. You know, the things of the flesh are passing away. He didn't say, don't go to work. He didn't say that. Why is he teaching this? Because he said in verse 58, or 63, the Spirit quickeneth nothing. The Spirit is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh don't profit anything. you know, if we're going to obtain everlasting life, we're going to have to be born of the Spirit of God. We're going to have to do spiritual business with God. We're going to have to become spiritual. And some people just refuse to have any spirituality about them. They just don't want to. They're fixed upon the flesh and the desires of the flesh, but they're not thinking about everlasting life. This flesh is going to lay down one day. But Jesus said that we can live forever if we will believe in Him. The work we do, believe in Him. Come to Him. You know, think on spiritual things. He didn't say that we must quit our jobs. He said we need to have our priorities correct. Because it's the flesh that profits nothing. The Spirit is what's going to bring us life. Sometimes we grow weary. Work will cause you to grow weary. There is such a thing as being a workaholic. And that's not good. That's not good. We must be good stewards of our time and know where and when is enough. Sometimes that's tough. I speak from experience. But one of these days we're going to lay down. And it'll all be over. Sometimes we get weary. Jesus got weary at times. He sat on the well waiting for the disciples to bring Him food once. The great heroes of the Bible got tired. We all get tired. Jesus said, I must work the work of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We have to do the work that the Lord's called us to do now. You know, we have to renew ourselves. The Bible says, the Lord's people, they will renew themselves and mount up as wings of eagles, you know. That's what we have to do. Renew ourselves in the Lord. So, if you're here today or listening, if you're looking for somebody to tell you we can quit work, I'm afraid I can't tell you that. The Bible is consistent that we're going to have to work. And not feeling good is not a valid excuse. You know, we've all worked when we didn't feel good. And there is a generation that has more options than we used to have. I understand that. And some things needed to change. But we still need to have a good work ethic about us. You know, if we're Christians, we need to make do our best. You know, we need to do our best. Jesus worked hard. Paul worked and said, I'm doing this to be an example to you here of the church. You know, he labored intensely. And there are times that we're all going to get tired. We're going to get tired. And Jesus has this to say about those who labor. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So we got to go to the Lord when we are give out, when we're laboring, we're wore out, don't have anywhere else to go. Come unto me. How do we mix it? If a man provide not for his those of his house, he is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. There is scripture throughout the Bible that says we have to work if we're able. And those who are not able are supported by those who can. That is the model in the Word of God. Paul says that's why you want to work, so you can help those who can't. That's why you want to help, so you can help the church in its mission to help those who are not able. You know, And sometimes we get tired doing that. Jesus said, "Come unto me if you're tired. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." So the rest that we really are yearning for, the rest that sometimes I can't find in this life, it's in Jesus, I'm going to tell you. And I have to remind myself that the rest for our souls is found in Jesus. Now, the world doesn't have this. That's why, as God's people, you can make better employees. That's why, as God's people, we can be good examples to the world, because the world can't find this rest. They don't have it. We have it. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget and don't go to the source, and that's Jesus. The world tries to find some rest that only tires them out more. Alcohol, out all night, carousing and doing all these things, and then they ain't able to work half the time. They call in sick because of these things. But for the believer, we have a source of rest, and it's in Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We need to be learning more of Jesus and all we can as we see the day approaching. One or two things is going to happen. It's approaching us. Either the death angel is going to come, whisper in our ear, or we're going to hear the trumpets, and the eastern sky is going to light up like lightning that you've never seen before. Either way, one of these events is going to happen, and we need to be ready when He calls. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. We need to be learning more about Jesus. Let me learn. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. There's rest in Jesus. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what he's saying there? I'm not that hard to get to know. Now, the people at Capernaum who said no, not interested, and walk no more with him, if they'd only know, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." They said, "Who can understand these things?" A lot of people, I think, are like them. They're giving up too early. Listen, it's not that difficult to come to know Jesus. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. They weren't willing. They weren't willing to try. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to try. You're going to have to put forth effort. The work that has been done to save you has already been done, but we have to put forth an effort. We've got something. We have to approach the Lord and to call upon Him and to trust Him with all our hearts, with all that we have. We have to repent of our sins and trust Him. Jesus, you are my only hope. Reveal yourself unto me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I won't put too much on you. Though a man be a wayfaring fool, the prophet said, he shall not err therein. I'm going to tell you something. If it had been a difficult process, I wouldn't be here. I would not be here had it been a difficult process. But I had to make an effort. And so will we. Come unto me. Brother Danny's going to come with a song today. And the message is to get our minds off of the flesh and on the Spirit. And that shouldn't be too challenging for us. Apply yourself, you know. Think in spiritual matters. Think about spiritual things. Jesus will appeal to you through the Holy Spirit. Are you available? Let's stand together today as we focus our minds upon the spiritual realm of Jesus today. Shall we sing?